Hi, it's Neil here. Just to say that this version of the Podyssey might sound a little bit different to other ones because we recorded the Christmas Eve show for Mix 92.6, which was a longer version of this. So this pod is an edited down version of that show. As a result, you might hear the odd mention of it being Christmas Eve, and you might also hear references to music, which we're not actually allowed to play on this podcast. Hope you enjoy the pod anyway, and do check us out 8 p.m. on Mix 92.6 on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, enjoy the Podyssey. Welcome to the Podyssey, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the greatest little independent cinema on the planet, The Odyssey in St Albans. This podcast is a partnership between The Odyssey Cinema and Mix 92.6 FM, Hertfordshire's local radio station. Thanks for joining us. Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree, and that is actually from our first film that we're going to talk about. Number 10 on our list of all-time Christmas classic films is The Holiday. Chaps, where do we stand on this one? This is Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet swapping houses for the Christmas break to escape heartache and pain and adventures and misadventures and romance ensues. What do we think?
I'm thumbs up on it. I would like it more if Cameron Diaz and Jude Law had their screen time was swapped with Kate Winslet and Jack Black. I just found that the more interesting romance, perhaps because, I don't know, Jack Black's got that Jack Black charisma going on.
He does, But I think Jude Law is very charismatic in it, but just doesn't have a lot going on.
It feels a bit more generic rom-com as opposed to the other side of it. But what do you guys think?
I mean, I sort of enjoy both of them, like those things, but there is an element of in LA with Kate Winslet that tends to like be more natural in some regard. Like Cameron and Jude having, you know, a lot of rumpy pumpies, just say, and like straight off the bat. But Kate's really in it to just sort of like escape that, and she's just in it for a sort of a more platonic love all around, especially with the subplot of, you know, getting
Arthur. Yeah, this is a weird extra bit, right? So they've got this next door neighbor film producer who's about to get an award, and that's a kind of sideline to the two main stories.
Yeah.
I really like that bit though.
It's very lovely. Just kind of, it does feel kind of dropped in there. I think you could definitely have a film just with Kate Winslet and Jack Black with that subplot and like do the whole thing. But it is very lovely though, and it is like the magic of Christmas, and love at Christmas is not just romantic. It's also, there's many forms of love.
Also, like as an, you know, a rom-com, love is just complicated too. It can be, and it's not just a one-off. It just happens to be at Christmas, really.
This is also, there's a few of these on our list, but this one is like, it's kind of Christmas. There's a bit of snow. It's definitely Christmas because I think we do see Christmas Day in it, I think.
Christmas Day.
It's happening at Christmas, but Christmas is very incidental in this film.
It could literally be any time of year. And that's so much of it is set in LA, which is very un-Christmassy. As much as they'll try and put some tinsel on it, it still just looks like it's summer.
It's called Tinseltown.
In name only.
But yeah, cracking film. And number 9 on our list, before we play a bit more Christmas music, is Gremlins. So what do you make of this one? I love this one.
Good one. Yeah, it's impressive. Can't go wrong with like animatronic monsters running around causing havoc.
It's got
a bit of edge, which I like. It's a children's film in concept, but they add a bit more, you know, threat, but it makes a bit three
thing in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually quite gruesome a little bit too. Like, you know,
in a way that
gels and stickies and
kids
things like
would
that.
Like
It's quite endearing. They're not like terrifying monsters. They're just like
naughty, aren't they?
Naughty.
Great film. And kind of again, it's Christmas because it's, I think, Mogwai's A Christmas Gift. So again, if you haven't seen this, first of all, where have you been? But also, so someone who's looking for a gift for their son, and they buy a mysterious, very cute creature off a kind of wise old wizardy man. Always a mistake in my book.
It is.
Is it blind as well?
I think you might be, just to really add to the absolute red flags.
Right.
But then, he's given some very specific instructions about what not to do with this gremlin, about getting it, feeding it after midnight and putting water on it. I think he breaks all of those rules pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Which leads to tons more gremlins and chaos ensues. But yeah, very, very good film.
It is.
Thoroughly enjoy it.
And it kind of led to a lot of great cinema, because it was a script from Chris Columbus and was discovered by Steven Spielberg, who's the producer on the film. So it kind of launched the career of Chris Columbus, who later went on to direct one of the films we'll talk about later that's very iconic, and is a terrific director as well.
So yeah, I would say two good ones to start. The Holiday at 10 and Gremlins at 9. So now, coming up, we're going to have a little bit of music. But first of all, we've got a quiz question from Dan.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and here's your Christmas quiz question. To the nearest million, how many turkeys are sold in the UK every Christmas?
So, chaps, we had Dan's question there. How many turkeys are sold in the UK every year at Christmas time? Let's have your guesses, Nick. Let's have you first.
I'm going to go with 35 million.
35 million. Roberto?
I'm going to go 15 million.
15? Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's high. I don't know. I have an inkling. It's really high. I'm going to go 50. 50 million.
50 million. Some optimistic guess. Some people have been at the sherry here. Right. Optimistic guesses. Let's have a listen to Dan's answer.
And the answer is 10 million. Wishing everyone listening a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Right, chats, talk about the next two films on our list. First of all, The Polar Express. Now, I like this one. This has become a Christmas favourite in our house. I know that some people find it a bit weird. The people look a bit creepy in it. Yeah. But I am into this. What do we think about it?
Okay, this is one of my favourite films, generally. It's also the film I've watched the most in my life. I've got on Letterboxd, you can log how many times you watch every film. I've seen this film 11 times.
So this is your
most
watched film?
It's my most watched film ever. So,
what do you love so much about it?
It is just very magical. And I do take the point that if you look at them for a long time, there is a certain uncanny valley aspect to some of the characters especially. But at least for me, I got it on DVD when I was like 4. And we've just watched it every Christmas on Christmas Eve ever since. And it just has that kind of magical quality.
And you've got into it early as well. So my little boy Freddie watched it a couple of years ago and loved it. So I can't even separate from that now. I love it because he loves it. Yeah. So we watch it. It's like the sign that Christmas is coming when that starts getting shown. We listen to the music in our house and stuff. I think it's a great film. All Tom Hanks.
Exactly. Yeah. He's really doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He's playing 5 or 6 characters.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. I mean, I'll give it that it's like I like the film as well. I agree it's very magical. It's my mum's favourite Christmas film, I think. I think so. and I enjoy the spirit of it and what it sort of the message it puts out there, especially for younger kids. I mean, no offense guys, but you were kids when it came out as well. Yeah. I was a teenager. Near enough a teenager. So it wasn't really something that I began to watch straight away, and then I grew to love it. And it's also based on a book, isn't it? I think
it is, yeah.
Yeah, which I assume, because we've now got the book. The book's kind of mad and old-fashioned. Yeah. It's quite cool, though. But I imagine, if I had to guess, Tom Hanks loved the book as a kid and then worked quite hard to get this made, because he does all the parts and all the voices and he's an executive producer and all that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's good film. Yeah, pioneers that technology as well. I think it was the first fully motion capture digital animation film ever.
Oh, really?
So it kind of paved the way for that whole subgenre that Steven Spielberg was very interested in.
Yeah.
And it's magical as well.
It is.
Ghosts on top of the train and exciting bits. I think it's great. Good music.
I think the music is maybe the best bit of the whole film. I really like, it is truly wonderful. And very kind of encapsulates Christmas.
It's a great film. So if anyone's not seen it, first of all, definitely check it out. But this is about a magical train that takes a boy to the North Pole. And the reason he's taken is because he's not sure if he believes in Santa Claus anymore. And that's kind of the journey he goes on. But yeah, fantastic film. Well worth a look. As it turns out, Sam's favourite film. His most viewed film of all time.
It is.
So amazing. So look, next on our list, another heartstring tugger. Miracle on 34th Street. I like this film. Thoughts, Nick, you go first.
I appreciate the like the age of it, if you know what I mean. I know that sounds like probably not the best way to describe it, but it's very much a 90s like classic. Richard Attenborough is great as Kris Kringle.
Yes.
I haven't seen the, I think it came out in the 40s, but the black and white Miracle on 34th, but without knowing too much about that, I feel like it's very faithful in this adaptation. And I enjoy Dylan McDermott in it. He is amazing, just amazing really to look at. And also Elizabeth Perkins. Mara Wilson is such a cutie as well, you know, from that sort of era of Matilda and other movies. It's a great watch. And I also think that, I think maybe that's my Polar Express actually, where it's just like, it's so magical. And you really like makes you feel like the belief is there to sort of, and it makes you want to be like that generous, spiritful, you know, time for Christmas, really.
Yeah. And I love the bit where, you know, New York kind of gets behind it and they all start having the We Believe signs. I absolutely love that bit. Yeah, as everyone's not seen this one, this is essentially, I mean, it's a bit more than this, but basically there's an old guy who thinks, or does he just think? He thinks the Christmas. Yeah. And of course, all the adults think he's insane and needs to be locked up. But there's obviously a bit more to the story. But yeah, lovely, lovely film. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Well worth its slot at number 7 on our list.
Did you watch it, Roberto? Did you watch it for the first time?
My first time this year watching it, yeah. And yeah, I think it's, I think for me, I'd describe this as like a fairly vanilla Christmas film in terms of, it's got like all of that, what you'd expect in a Christmas film, especially for the 90s. But, you know, I like vanilla. I had a good time with it. Especially that scene. It's like one of those scenes that gets thrown around on social media. But when he does the sign language to the to the girl, that's too much. It's like, oh.
That is lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Yeah.
It's a great Santa.
No, very, very good film. So, chaps, we've got another question for you. Sam, you get thinking about this one, all right? So this one is from Justin. Let's have a listen.
Hello. I love being on the podcast this year, and I hope you'll have me back sometime to talk movies. In the meantime, here's a Christmas movie question for you. In A Muppet's Christmas Carol, they've called the shop Micklewhites. But do you know why?
Weird end to that song. Right, chaps, that was from the film Elf, which we'll be talking about in a moment. But first of all, we had Justin's question. Now, Justin's question was, in A Muppet's Christmas Carol, why is the shop called Micklewhites? I think we'll guess right. We'll guess with Roberto. We'll start with you. I don't want to pick on Sam. Roberto, we'll start with
you. I have no clue. I'm guessing it's something to do with the original Charles Dickens story, but I would not, not pay any attention.
Decent guess.
To see.
Sam?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a Sesame Street reference that I'm not privy to. I don't know.
I think Nick knows this.
So I think I know as well. I don't want to embarrass myself.
Go on then.
It's really the surname of Michael Caine.
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes.
So Michael Caine's his stage name, yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah, Micklewhites. Michael's name. Let's have Justin confirm that for us, but Nick, you're absolutely right.
The answer? It's a reference to Michael Caine's real name, Maurice Micklewhite. Did you all get that one? I hope so. Good luck with the quiz. Merry Christmas.
There you go. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Justin, for taking part. And Merry Christmas to you. I know you're listening. So, Nick.
I got it.
Nick has steamed into joint first on equal 1 point. Sam's yet to get off the block. Just haven't had the right questions.
No. My time is coming.
You just haven't had the right question. good question from Justin, though. So, now we are getting to numbers 6 and 5 on our top 10 films list. Number 6, for me, this is an absolute classic.
Absolutely.
Elf with Will Ferrell. I love this film. I think it's very, very, very funny. I think it's one of the best Christmas films out there. What do we think?
Without wanting to sound like a broken record, this is also one of my favourite films that I've watched many a time. I think it is just brilliant. It's very funny. There's a lot of... The humour kind of works on a lot of levels because it's very, like, child-friendly, but there's a lot of jokes for the adults as well. Mm. So it's kind of... Everyone can get a lot out of it. I think James Caan is actually amazing at it.
Yeah, because he plays it fully straight, doesn't he? He acts... exactly like a surprised, grumpy, hard bloke would act.
And this is a running theme in Christmas films, as we'll definitely, speaking of the last question as well, I'm sure we'll get to that later as well. But I would also say Nativity, Martin Freeman being one of his best performances. And then, yeah, Elf. James Caan essentially just continues his character from Misery into this film. And instead of being terrorised by Kathy Bates, it's being terrorised by Will Ferrell. He like does that same like alarmed look, but trying to acts like he's okay with the situation.
Yeah. just wants to scream.
Yeah. I like Will Ferrell was like an established comedian, but I felt like this established him in the movie business.
Yeah.
As well for Will Ferrell. Like,
yeah.
And I don't really know if they even intended to have that much fun with that. But then like Will Ferrell just makes the movie.
He's amazing in this scene. He's so funny. My funny enough, you mentioned something for the adults as well, Sam, but I obviously like, so my little boy's 6, so I'm quite, you know, careful about what he watches. Mm-hmm. Elf is actually fine for him. There's nothing bad in Elf, do you know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
And so I am properly belly laughing when I watch it, as is he.
Yeah.
It's like it really does the job.
Has anyone ever tried, I'm guessing no, but the spaghetti?
Oh, nah. Sounds good. I can. Have you?
No, goodness, no. I could imagine it, but there'd be something very special going on for me to even try that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the four main food groups.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm
saying.
Yeah. But yeah, Elf, an absolute classic. Very, very, very funny. And now we come to, I think I'm going to say, a slightly maybe divisive film. I like it, but I'm interested in your take. Love Actually at number 5. Right,
Caruso's got a face low, but
both of us got something to say on this, clearly. I can tell.
Some people,
I think it's going to offend me.
Some people will know me. It is. I do not begrudge anyone for liking Love Actually. There's lots of charm. It's got a great cast. You guys might know this. I have like a kind of sort of parasocial rivalry with Richard Curtis, in that every film I watch he does. No, he might be in your letterbox. But every film of his I watch throws me into a sort of existential crisis, and I think it's because he does this thing where he has like a film full of many raunchy, absurd jokes, and then he kind of will then flip the tone into like Liam Neeson going, "Here's how I'm at my wife's funeral," and then you go straight back to like Hugh Grant doing his prime minister stick.
Yeah,
and
I'm deeply inappropriate.
Yeah, and I just like there's something about this guy's films that really get under my skin. I just like are like, oh, I don't know about this.
I would say his more recent Christmas film called That Christmas, which is on Netflix, is like an animated film. It's actually very, very lovely. And I think is much better than Love Actually. However, people do love it, and you cannot take that away from that.
And also, I'm always very proud that the Podacy never comes close to entering the culture wars, because why would we? Mm-hmm. I do feel like Love Actually, there's a bit of an age divide when you came across it, because I'm older than you guys. I don't look it, but I am. I'm quite fond of Love Actually, and I feel like most people, this is very generalising, most people my age are. I think as you get a bit younger, people find it a bit naffer and a bit too one-dimensional and a bit, do you know what I mean?
I think some of the humour is definitely fairly dated, or it feels like, I don't know, it's not it doesn't kind of cohere with maybe our sensibilities.
I would consider it a problematic film, but then this is something I find interesting about film criticism as of late, is like there are many films that are considered problematic and kind of fall out of favour, but Love Actually...
It's a different generation. It's a generational thing. Yeah. In their generational thing.
And, you know, it's kind of... It's also because it is, like you said, it is kind of one-dimensional, but that can work in its favour sometimes in terms of like just being a bit of like... crass fun, you know. I think people are allowed that, you know. It's not,
yeah,
it's not a crime.
Yeah, it's a 20-year-old movie plus,
yeah,
so
it's got that
so
to it,
you know.
It's exactly too long though, that's what I'll say. It's 2 hours 10 minutes,
it's a little bit too long.
I did read what I knew we were talking about on here, that it was initially going to be really fully based around Liam Neeson and his relationship with his wife's
son.
And there was a little bit of that in it, but that's kind of...
I think that is...
That's a
very lovely.
Now, but yeah. I think the way it was initially filmed, it was all kind of hung off that with extra bits.
Silly.
And then it kind of went off in this other direction.
I think it would be a better film.
I would admit, yeah.
I just prefer like a central character in my film. I'm also not an ensemble film. Basically, this film doesn't hit a lot of beats that I want it to hit, so it's very much a me thing.
Yeah, fair enough. So mixed views on Love Actually. I'm a fan. The jury's out.
I mean, I was just scared to see that they were still building the needle in the background of one of the shots.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. So, okay, right. That has been the first few films. So I'll tell you what, we'll have another little Christmas tune and we'll see where we are. Right, chaps, just before we go into the Christmas Eve news and weather... News and travel, there's no travel, news and weather. We've got a question from Roxy, so let's have a listen to it.
What fast food do 36 million Japanese families eat on Christmas Day?
Okay, so just before the darkness, which is a cracking Christmas tune, by the way, we had a question from Roxy. What do 36 million Japanese families eat on Christmas Day? You all think you know this, aren't you?
I think so.
So we say it together.
Let's do it together.
Okay, one, two, three.
KFC.
Yeah!
Absolutely right. Okay, a point each. I'm going to do the sums on that. We're going to go to the news and the weather. And then when we come back, we're going to get more quiz questions, more festive tunes. And we'll have the top five of the favourite ever 10 Christmas films. So stick with us here on Mix 92.6. Hope you have a lovely Christmas Eve wherever you are in Hertfordshire.
KFC. Merry Christmas to everyone listening.
You're listening to us here on the Podyssey Christmas special. It's the countdown of the top 10 favourite ever Christmas films. We've done the first five in the last hour. We've got the next five still to come. I'm here with Sam, Roberto and Nick from the Odyssey Cinema in St Albans, who will be helping me count down. So I'll tell you what, we'll have a little bit of Michael Bublé because you cannot avoid him this time of year, and then we'll get into it. God, he must have made a lot of money around Christmas time. He's having a very good Christmas, I imagine. And good luck to him. Why not? Michael Bublé, the new sort of sneaked into it King of Christmas.
Yeah. Good on him.
Right. So, chaps, we're getting on to the top four of the all-time 10 best Christmas films. Number four, I just rewatched this ahead of this show. Absolutely love it. Home Alone.
It's so classic. I think there's a strong case for this being number one, personally.
Yeah.
I think it's very... It's kind of got everything because, you know, it's a bit cheeky and there's some great humour in there and just total slapstick by the end as well.
Oh, the slapstick is like such perfection in this film.
It's so good. Almost act like cartoon characters. Kind of
Which
and can go wrong so easily. Like, there are films I've tried and it's just looked... overused word, but it's looked cringe, but in Home Alone it is just genuinely hilarious, and the stunt work is like out of this world. I mean, a lot of the falls,
it's properly funny.
It's
proper funny.
Yeah, it's like Tom and Jerry kind of stuff.
I love it.
They try to replicate it so many times and there's so many sequels, but only one and two really do it well, and every other times a poor imitation, I think.
My hot take on Home Alone is I like the first one, but I actually do think the second one steps it up a bit.
Where, I think that was where he sees them again in New York.
Yes.
Yeah. Weirdly, Donald Trump's in it, weirdly.
He is.
Yeah. I mean, that bit's... Let's not make that the big thing.
Yeah. But like, I feel like the second one takes... I mean, it's kind of a retread and it's kind of contrived. But I do think, like, I think the heart actually kind of might be better for me in that one. And then the slapstick is even... Bricks are getting thrown.
It's crazy.
Electrocution.
Yeah, he gets electrocuted into a skeleton. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this is just saying more about me that I'm just a very, like, violent person, I think.
But no, it's proper funny. Like, when the murders are getting smacked about, it is hilarious. And a lot of heart to it as well. We've got the old down the road.
That's true.
Oh, wow. It's so true. Lovely, yeah. And John Candy is in it, and really great performance.
That's why he's kind of in the band, in the van.
He's so good.
Lovely film, and really festive music, like all the kind of... all the
So John Williams fellow, isn't it?
Yeah, really well done. And also, now that I've got my own, like, son, Freddie, Macaulay Culkin, I think he's like 8 or 9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal acting from such a young kid.
Yeah.
Like mad.
It is.
Madly good.
Unbelievable. He's very charismatic, isn't he?
Yeah.
And really like
the whole film is him.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that.
Is it his brother or his cousin?
He's in it.
Kieran Culkin.
His brother. From Succession. He's playing his cousin in the film.
Okay.
Yeah, and he just
winner.
Just won an Oscar this year. Kieran Culkin.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah, crazy.
For the thing with Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is really good. And
Home Alone, absolute cracker. Like, absolute cracker. Just watched it, thoroughly enjoyed it. Joe Pesci, really good in it.
He is eating it up, isn't he? He's so good.
Yeah, it must be so much fun if you're him to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Great. Anyone got like a favourite slapstick moment? Because I think my favourite slapstick moment is when they put, when he goes to grab his ankle and then he turns around and puts the spider on.
It's scream is so good.
Daniel Stern.
He is just brilliant.
I love him.
I think my favourite, because it's when it really ramps up to show you what you're going to get, it's very basic. It's very route one. I think it's when the paint cans come down.
Yeah.
Because that's the bit where you're like, oh, wow, he's going to really damage these rocks.
Yeah.
Why are you dressed like a chicken?
Yes. So funny.
Yeah. Oh, and you really feel it as well. And the bit when he steps in the nail.
It's a bit brutal. Yeah, even just the bauble, which is like first thing that happens. Awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turns out I'm very, very basic, because even the bit where the very, very early bits, when Macaulay Culkin's poured water on the steps to ice them up, when they're both doing their respective force on the steps, I was honestly crying. I thought it was just the funniest thing I've seen ages.
It's never not funny.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Fantastic, fantastic film. Like you say, Sam, could be number one. It's a very, very well deserved number 4. And speaking of could be number one, this next one on our list, this is, I think, an amazing film. We've had it mentioned already. A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh,
what can you say about this? I love
such
this film.
A classic.
Timeless.
I will say, to let you just get out of the way, let you guys, I imagine, gush about this. I didn't watch this a lot. Well, I didn't watch it at all when I was younger, because I used to be terrified of the Muppets. The trailer for this film, because it was on one of my like VHSs for Toy Story or something, terrified me even more, because like the doorknob turning into one of the Muppets, all of the ghosts. I was like, I just have to avoid this film. So I've only ever seen it once.
I think it has like Beetlejuice music to it, the actual Beetlejuice music.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but
vibe.
To make it more gothic, perhaps. I mean, I absolutely in love with this movie.
Yeah. Watching it, like, I think it was a couple of years ago now, like, for the first time, it is good. It is as good as everyone says. And again, Michael Caine giving one hell of a performance.
Yeah, a very stern performance.
Again, I think one of you guys mentioned this already, like, he does the best way to do this, where he acts in it like it's just a full-on...
It's weird, a normal Christmas Carol interpretation.
Yeah,
it just creates comedy gold, doesn't it?
When
he's talking to these ghosts that are just...
Yeah, Marley and Mark. It's such a good film. I read a thing from a kind of serious, kind of critic-y guy that it's in his top 5 Dickens portrayals. Mm. So it's like, he had this kind of countdown. You know, there's one from like 1951 that was done at the Pinter Theatre or whatever. this one he really rates as like one of the best, kind of true to the original sort of thing.
It is very Dickensian, and it really does actually kind of leave the story. It doesn't change it at all. It just drops some, kind of recast some characters as Muppets. But I love the bit towards the end where the two Muppets that are narrating the story, they're just like, this is getting too scary now. Yeah. We're just going to leave and
Gonzo
and let it, instead of let it happen. It's so good.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic film. One of my favourites. We've got a song from it coming up in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, we've got a question from Jack, and then we'll hear one of the cracking tunes from Muppets Christmas Carol, then we'll hear your answer to Jack's question. So here comes Jack, then we've got It Feels Like Christmas from Muppets Christmas Carol. You're listening to Mix 92.6, and it is Christmas time, so get excited.
Hi guys, it's Jack here, and my question is, what's more common to have on top of a Christmas tree? Is it A, an angel, or B, a star? Merry Christmas to you guys.
Feels Like Christmas, a Muppets Christmas Carol. What a film. What a film. One over involved. Right. So just before we heard that song, we had a question from Jack, which was, what is more common on the top of a Christmas tree, an angel or a star? Now, no pressure, Sam, but you need this because you are behind. You can go first, actually, Sam.
Thank you. I think back in the day it might have been an angel, but I'm going to say it's a star.
I will say this as someone who I think actually often does have an angel on top of their Christmas tree. I also think it's a star, though.
Mm.
I'm more, well, I will go opposite in that I think it's a star, but I'm going to go with angel because I have a 40-year-old tree topper, which is an angel made out of a toilet roll.
Oh, there you go. It's still going strong.
Yes.
Wow.
It made toilet rolls strong back in the 70s, right? Okay, well, let's see what the answer is from Jack. You need this app.
And the answer is B, a star. There you go.
There you go, a star. Sam, you are absolutely back in the pack. So, Sam, you're on two. Nick, unlucky. Although you have got your toilet roll angel, so that's nice. You're also on two. Roberto, steaming ahead on three. This is getting very, very exciting. So I tell you what, we're going to have a song from the film Meet Me in St. Louis in a minute. It's a lovely one. And then we're going to come back and we'll talk about the number two film on our list. And I promise you, it's a cracker. Hope you're having a lovely Christmas Eve. Wherever you are, you're listening to Mix 92.6. Mix 92.6 here at Christmas time. That was Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas from the film Meet Me in St. Louis. Ever seen that film, chaps?
No, I've not. No.
I'm going to make it my mission to watch it this
year. I watched it. The song is the best thing about it.
Oh, really, Bonnie Swicky? Oh.
Watched it having been tempted in by the song.
That and The Bishop's Wife I'm going to try and watch.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's a nice enough one, but yeah, quite long. Oh. right, so we are counting down the all-time top 10 classic Christmas films here on Mix this evening, and we've got to number two. Some people don't even think it's a Christmas film.
Mm.
Die Hard is number two. I watched this recently for the purpose of this. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Very dated, very of its time. A crazy body count.
Yeah. By the way.
He is very sore.
An enormous body count. I think I made a note on this because I Googled it afterwards. While I find that, let's hear what you thought about it.
Which is it's funny you mention that because, like, I think what I really like about Die Hard is the kind of stop and start action of it. In fact, it's a bit like Home Alone in that it's more like a defensive sort of,
yeah,
you know, John McClane isn't doing John Woo like double guns shooting people. He's like he's quite literally on the back foot in his bare feet.
Yeah. He's crawling around, surviving.
And a lot of the kills are like very, well, you would call them strategic, but
they're like environmental.
Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, my favorite one is the one on the table, where he's like shooting at him and then he gets him through it. What we're learning about in this Christmas episode is I just like my Christmas films full of bite,
extremely bloody.
Well, we all knew that already.
Well, that's true.
That's no surprise.
But I do think Die Hard is like, it's an ideal, like, it is the kind of perfect Western action film. It's got like the main character he's got charisma, but he's got vulnerability, which I think really adds to the film. There's a lot of like good subplots with his wife, and of course Al Powell is just such a great character, and their like relationship they build up is really good. And one thing people don't mention, I really like when those two cops come called, I check their names in the credits, their characters are called Big Richard and Little Richard, and they just start messing with everything. Like, they nearly kill John McClane in a helicopter, and they're just like, and I kind of take that as like, you know, it's like the higher-ups versus Sylvia, Bruce Willis, which is a bit like dated nowadays, but it works. You know,
very charismatic leads as well. So Alan Rickman versus Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis has really got it, hasn't he? Like,
he's so great, isn't he?
Twinkly and like watchable and like cool, isn't he?
Yeah, everything he says is like, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree. So the premise of this, people must know this by now. John McClane trying to get home to his family, having a few challenges with his wife. I think that's kind of implied. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get her kind of home to see his kid and take his kid a toy and get back together with his wife. His wife's office building is taken over by, even at the very end, I think just high-end thieves, but sort of a slightly terroristy vibe, but basically just want to nick the money. Mm-hmm. And carnage ensues because John McClane is kind of loose in said building and putting spanners in the works of their plan and annoying Alan Rickman, basically.
Yeah. And I want to say, if people dispute this is a Christmas film, one of the, not necessarily even one-liners, just like after one of the action beats, the like punchline to it almost is, now I have a machine gun, ho, 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 which I feel like you can't get any more like action in Christmas than that.
And he puts like a Christmas hat on a dead body. Yeah. It's now a machine gun, ho, ho, ho. Yeah.
I will admit that I was one of those guys. One of those sort of like disputers.
Oh, yeah.
But having watched it to sort of research, I have now changed into that camp of it being a Christmas movie.
It's actually very Christmas.
Apparently.
Yeah. Really? I think so. Yeah.
The credit song is, isn't it, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, or am I misremembering that?
Something like
that. It is definitely a Christmas song, though, which I feel, immediately, like, just adds.
There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek Christmas like
puns and
lines as well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about him reuniting with his family, which is a very Christmassy thing.
Yeah.
And he just had kind of, the obstacle in his way is violence.
Yeah. It's extreme violence.
Yeah. And it's a very obvious time film. I feel like there's a whole genre of this where one lone American troubled man is kind of on his own, getting very violent against some baddies. Mm. So what they do quite helpfully is they make it so clear who the baddies are. So even though John McClane is essentially just offing people left, right, center, it's fine because we've been told they are so bad that they need to get killed. But yeah, it's a good film.
Yeah. I think it works because there's a lot of like tongue-in-cheek aspects to it. Like there's that character who's like, he's like one of the, would you call him a yuppie? And he's like trying to get it out of Rickman's good books. And there's just lots of play. It's quite self-aware as well, because there's that kind of whole, oh, do you think you're a cowboy, Mr. McClane, you know, going around. And that's when he says the yippee-ki-yay line. So I think it's kind of aware of its cheesiness.
Yeah.
And that's definitely helped it stand the test of time.
Yeah, so it's really got something. It's really got something.
I think, like I said, I was more in that other camp of like not thinking it's a Christmas movie, but I think I'll probably now more or less attempt to try and watch it every year.
Yeah, here's a tricky question, not on the quiz, sadly. Is Die Hard 2 like Christmas time? Or do they keep with Christmas?
2 is Christmas as well, because that's where the line where he's like, how can the same thing after the same guy twice? So it is Christmas as well. It's significantly less Christmassy than the first one, though, just in terms of they're like, okay, we want to do the new stuff now a little bit, and then they still retread. Again, very similar films, Die Hard 1 and 2, and then Home Alone 1 and 2. And it's very, lots of parallels there.
The villain is related to Hans Gruber as well, right?
That's in the third one, which is not Christmas. That's like
pure
summertime energy, that one.
Who's the actor who plays in the villain?
Jeremy Irons. Alan Rickman's.
Really?
And it's the same, Dial 3 is actually pretty decent. It's the same director as the first one, John McTiernan. Mm. So that's kind of the one, that's 1 and 3, and then the rest are a bit
I think there's five. There's five. There's a really weird recent one, like Die Hard.
Good Day to Die Hard.
Which was the first one I watched.
Really?
But then I went back and watched the first one. I was like, oh, no.
But yes, Die Hard, absolutely cracking film. And here's a tune from it. This is Kristen Hollis, Run DMC. I love this tune.
Hello, it's Keandra here. The question is, what did Oliver Cromwell do with Christmas in the 16th century?
Okay, Keandra's question. What did Oliver Cromwell do with Christmas in the 16th century? Nick, I'll start with you.
I really don't know. I am just going to go with it was made into a public holiday, like a bank holiday.
Don't mind it as a guess. Roberto?
I also don't know. Maybe he put someone who thought they were Santa Claus on trial for the whole city to see.
It's the most imaginative answer.
I'm not sure. I'm going to pass on this one.
But Sam?
I believe he banned it.
Let's have a listen.
And the answer is, he banned it.
He banned it. Sam, another point for you. Right. Nick, you are now officially lagging. Get with it, Nicholas. Right, we're going to have a little bit of Bruce Springsteen, sing a little bit of Christmas stuff, and we'll be talking about the number one film in our countdown here on Mix. I hope you have a lovely Christmas Eve wherever you are in Hertfordshire.
Hi, Bethany here. So my Christmas question is, which carol does not have the same first line as the name? Little Donkey, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Jingle Bells, or Frosty the Snowman?
Which of those carols does not have the same first line as the name of the carol?
Well, as I'm going through them, I'm like, all of them do. That's what I think as well. I can't... Little Donkey.
I know that one.
One of them doesn't.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to say Little Town of Bethlehem, okay. Mostly because I can't remember it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know Christmas. I don't know Christmas carols. I've just realised. You go first, Nick.
I will go with Jingle Bells.
Oh, Jingle Bells. Yeah, good guess.
Oh, I'm gonna go with Sam's answer here. This could be, no offence, Sam, the blind leading the blind here, bro. That's what I'm gonna go for.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, we'll have the Pogues, and then we'll find out.
And the answer is Jingle Bells. To everyone who's listening, have a very merry Christmas.
The answer is Jingle Bells. It's an absolute
main.
I swear, if you're listening, we did not engineer this. Everybody is on equal points going into the last question, and I'm not even making that up. So, we're going to talk about our top film in the list here on Mix 92.6. We're doing a countdown for you of the top 10 Christmas films. But first, we will have our final question, and it's winner takes all here. It really is.
Okay.
One's equal. I mean, the suspense is absolutely killing me. And this, very nicely, is a question from Martha, who was the first ever person to record a seat in tray for us. So let's have a listen to it.
Hi, I'm Martha, and my question is, how many ghosts turn up in A Christmas Carol?
Okay, so that's Martha, and Martha was the first ever person to do a policy intro for us. A great question, Martha. It's also, as it turns out, the cliffhanger, the Christmas cliffhanger. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Shaky Stevens while you boys sweat on that one, and then we'll come back and get the last answers. Right, chaps, it's the absolute cliffhanger final question from Martha. How many ghosts appear in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? Not Muppet's Christmas Carol, not any other version of Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. How many ghosts appear?
I am not certain, but I'm going to say four.
Okay.
I'm with Sammy Lovett. Okay. Four ghosts.
I'm also saying four.
Oh, yeah, who are we saying they are?
Marley.
Yep.
Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present, Ghost of Christmas Future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's have a listen and see if you're right.
The answer is four. Merry Christmas, everyone.
The answer is four. Great question. Hey. And I mean, we've been all the way through 2 hours worth of Christmas quiz questions. and it's an absolute dead heat. And you could argue that made the whole quiz null and void, but you could also say, in the spirit of Christmas,
everyone wins.
And enjoy the Christmas quiz, and yes, everyone's a winner. Great question, Martha, and well done to you boys. Right, so we're nearly out of time, but we need to talk about the number one film on our list. It is, of course, It's a Wonderful Life. Beautiful film. I actually saw this at the Odyssey either last year or the year before. Such a lovely, lovely film. What are we saying about this one?
It's an all-time classic.
It is.
Though I think I've been having conversations with people recently. The premise and the kind of Christmassy aspects aren't as upfront as you think they're going to be. Like,
no.
There's a lot of, for lack of a better word, like financial stress before the premise of the film hits.
How much Christmas is in it? It snows a lot.
It's a
long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only like the last half hour where it even is actually at Christmas.
Yeah.
Starts with angels though, doesn't it?
It does.
Starts with like the universe as a sort of like background.
The start is amazing.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I enjoy that, and I agree with you though. Like, there is a point where I like got into it, and because I watched it a few days ago, and it was just like, oh, where are we getting to this part now? Like, and then also I think quite reminiscent of a lot of Christmas stories, especially Christmas Carol.
Very definitely.
Yeah. I saw in the credits that it was based by a story of Charles Dickens. I was like, okay, but in a weird way, not exactly how it's played out in Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's a loose sort of adaptation, isn't it? Yeah.
Kind of inverts it from having too much money to having no money.
Yeah, and seeing the value in your life regardless of your circumstances.
Exactly. It's also, like all the best Christmas films, kind of dark. Like, I think if somebody was coming to this late, they think, oh, this is the Christmas film everyone loves. You know, he sings, gets a moon and a stick. It's going to be a lovely Christmas film. There's dark this film before his redemption.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes the ending so. I did rewatching it a couple of days ago. I did tear up a few times. Yeah. Particularly just a lot of the gestures between him and Mary during the film, and just that whole romance is actually what really got the film.
Yeah. It's very
the film.
It's an amazing film, and it goes through his whole life. And it's made in 1946. It's really inventive for the time.
Yeah, it is.
So this is James Stewart. It's George Bailey. He's a man really considering himself quite worthless and not important. And he's got a guardian angel called Clarence who, over the course of the film, kind of makes him realise how much of an impact he's had on those around him and how important he really is. It's a lovely, lovely film.
Yeah, and it's kind of like championing being selfless and giving to other people, and how George kind of represents the spirit of Christmas through his whole life by being so giving, and like he has all these big dreams of wanting to travel the world and stuff, and that's all lovely, but he's actually built this amazing community through his whole life.
Yeah,
and it's very lovely,
because it's the thing, he keeps making sacrifices and you're like, you feel bad for him, but then, you know, come the end of the film, you realize how much that has like had an impact on everyone else, and it's just very. And it's also funny in a way, like only 40s films are funny, where there's just like little quips.
Yeah,
like
they jump around, don't they?
I really liked, there's a part where he's like, oh, I need to get my wife on the phone. And he's like scrambling around, and this girl goes, Mrs. Bailey's on the phone. He goes, no, I need to get my wife on the phone. He goes, that is my wife. Oh my God, I'm married now.
Yeah, no, lovely, lovely, lovely film. And a fitting end to our Christmas countdown. Chaps, thank you so much for joining me today. Hope you've enjoyed it. I hope everybody here has a lovely Christmas. I hope everybody listening has a lovely Christmas. Thank you so much for listening. And it only remains for us to say Merry Christmas from everyone at Mix 92.6. Chaps, you want to say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Christmas everyone. Christmas. Happy New Year. We're going to play out with the end song from It's a Wonderful Life. It's a beautiful carol. Merry Christmas and thank you for listening. We love you. Thanks for listening. If you want to drop us a line here at the Podyssey, you can email me at neil.rodger@mix926.com with your thoughts on the show, your views on the films we've talked about, and if you're feeling brave, you could do our next intro or set our next final challenge. You can find out all about what's on at the Odyssey
or what's going on with Mixnights 2.6 FM by checking out the websites and searching them on all the socials, where they can both be found.